Let's turn, please, in the Word of God to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, and then as well the book of Joel, chapter 2. Just two verses of Scripture, going to bring them together as we speak for a little while this morning about rain from heaven. Rain from heaven. If you've been with us over the last few weeks online, last maybe 5 or 6 weeks, you'll know that we've been doing a series on the Holy Spirit. Quite a lot of years ago on a Tuesday night, we went into the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in quite a little bit of detail. This has been a more devotional study with more application as we look at some of the emblems in Scripture for the Spirit of the living God. And today we're thinking about the rain or the dew that comes from heaven. Ezekiel 34 verse 26, the second part of the verse, God says, I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And then the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And then verse 29, the last part of that verse, in those days I will pour out my spirit. Rain from heaven, showers of blessing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, write thy word upon our hearts this morning. Speak to us, Lord. And not only that, Lord, but we pray that we will experience the showers of blessing in these days. We thank thee, Lord, for every token for good that God gives us, every little mercy drop. But oh, for the showers we plead. Oh God, give us faith to believe, faith to hear the sound of abundance of rain. Continue with us now and bless us throughout the remainder of this service, we humbly ask, in the Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Many and varied are the emblems of the Holy Spirit in Scripture. We have considered some of them already: wind and fire, water, oil, and of course the dove. And they all serve to show us and to highlight to us something of the salient aspects of the character and ministry of God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is very much real, a real factor, a real person, and should be very evident and real in the life of the church and in the life of a Christian. I want to speak on another emblem of the Holy Spirit this morning, although this emblem is maybe not as clearly stated in the Word of God as some of the others that we have considered have been. The Bible is very clear that water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. John 7, the Lord spoke about living waters flowing out of the belly or the souls of his people, out of their innermost being. But this spake he of the Spirit. So that's a very clear emblem. And then the Bible in John 3, verse 8, indicates that wind is also a clear symbol of the Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit, as is fire. The Bible says in Acts 2 concerning the early church that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and there appeared cloven tongues like as of flames of fire that sat upon each and every one of them. And then John said at the baptism of the Lord, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove. And we've got another emblem or symbol this morning. And yet, whenever we compare Scripture with Scripture, it becomes very evident that the rain or the dew is a type of the Spirit of God. Because Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 34, 26, there shall be showers of blessing. And then Joel puts it this way, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So the showers of blessing, the rain from heaven, is likened unto the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival blessing. Isaiah, the great prophet, says in Isaiah 32 and verse number 15 about the time whenever the Spirit shall be poured upon us from on high. And the result of that is that the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field becomes counted for a forest. And my beloved people this morning, you do not need me to tell you that the salient and the greatest need of our churches, of our lives, and of our nation is for an outpouring of the Spirit of the living God. We desperately need showers of blessing. We desperately need rain from heaven. We desperately need times of refreshing from the presence of our Lord. And so for a few moments this morning, we're going to consider rain from heaven, or the outpouring of the Spirit of the Lord. The first thing that I want to say about the rain from heaven is with regards to the biblical metaphor of it. The biblical metaphor of rain. Very often, revival blessing in Scripture is likened unto God opening the windows of heaven and pouring out a blessing. Isaiah described it as God rending the heavens and coming down. The Acts of the Apostles describes it as being times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Ezekiel described it as being showers of blessing. Joel described it as God pouring out His Spirit. And so revival is ever a move of the Spirit of God. God coming in great power. God visiting a thirsty land, or God visiting a thirsty people. God pouring out His Spirit. And the metaphor of rain is a very good metaphor for the outpouring of God's Spirit, because rain can come sovereignly. Like the wind that bloweth where it listeth, so it is with the rain. It cannot be controlled by man. We know that in a very real sense. Whenever a farmer is maybe longing for rain, and we experienced a very dry spell from the beginning of the lockdown, and there was very little rain, and many of us enjoyed the beautiful sunshine. Still others were looking for rain as they were sowing in their fields and working on the farms. But they could not bring rain. They could look for it, they could pray for it, they could long for it, but rain comes sovereignly. Likewise, whenever we want the rain to stop, we cannot do that either. And there are people who would desire for the Spirit of God not to work or move at all. And whenever God comes in great blessing and awakens His church and moves in a nation, there will be multitudes who will want to stop that. But the rain comes sovereignly. And so it is with the Spirit of the living God. The rain also can come suddenly as well as sovereignly. I think over the last week we have experienced a little bit of that. The skies have been blue, and the sun has been shining through, and then within a short time, the skies can be almost black, and there's been some very heavy showers of rain, and we've got caught out in them, I'm sure, and got saturated within a short space of time. So rain can come sovereignly, and rain also can come suddenly, and so it is with revival blessing. We read in Acts chapter 2 that suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing and a mighty wind. And it says concerning the days of Elijah that as they saw that little cloud the size of a man's hand, within a very short space of time the skies were black and there was the sound of an abundance of rain. And it happened very suddenly. And we might be living in days that are arid and dry and barren, but you know, God can still come suddenly. And God can still pour out His Spirit amongst the people. And God, even this morning, we trust, could come amongst us and visit us suddenly and sovereignly and supernaturally. Rain can be widespread right across a nation. And at the same time, rain can be localized. I'm sure during the lockdown, you've been on the telephone a lot more than you've been before. And you maybe speak to a friend or a loved one down the country and you'll say, "What's it doing with you? It's raining up here." And they might say, "Well, it's certainly not raining down here. It's a beautiful day. The sun's splitting the trees," or vice versa. And so one part of a province can experience sunshine, blue skies, dry grounds. Another part can at the same time be experiencing rain. Indeed, it could be raining on one side of Cool Rain and the roads dry on the other side of Cool Rain. And so it is whenever the Spirit of God moves. He might move locally, one parish or community, one town or district. He might move in a great way in one church, but not another. He might move in a great way right across a nation almost at the same time, or might spread across a nation in his influences. This is what the Spirit of God can do. And then rain also comes in varying degrees. It might be just a little drizzle or a mizzle, we would say, in this part of the world. Or the rain might come down torrentially, and all of a sudden it's like a river running down the streets, and the ground in a very short space of time becomes flooded. So it is with the movings of the Spirit of God. He might move in great power and a torrential downpour, we might say, so that multitudes are affected. Or he might move mildly so that everybody gets affected a little bit. This is how the Spirit of God moves. And yet rain also is pure. Whenever the vapors rise and go up into the atmosphere, they become purified. And as they fall down again, rainwater, by and large, is noted for its purity and for its cleanness. It seems to be purged and it seems to be pure. And so it is with the Spirit of God. He is ever pure and holy, sinless and perfect, and he always does that which is right. The biblical metaphor of rain. And then another point that might seem to be very obvious is the heavenly source of rain. Rain, of course, comes from above. It comes from heaven. It comes from the skies. It's not something that comes up from the ground. It comes from above. And so it is with the Spirit of God. And that might sound like a very obvious statement. The book of the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 14 and verse number 17 says, "Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and with gladness." What a text of Scripture. There's a verse that you can take for your own. There's a verse that I believe God will fulfill in this church in the days that lie ahead. He will not leave himself without a witness. He will ever do that which is good. And we prayed for years for rain from heaven. And I pray that the Lord will send rain from heaven and fruitful seasons in this church family. And that the Lord will fill your hearts with food and with gladness and with rejoicing. The principle of rain is seen in Ecclesiastes 11. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. You know, rain's an amazing thing because the sun heats up this earth and causes the earth's moisture, whether it's the ocean or the lakes or the rivers or the plants or the trees or the flowers, and the moisture rises up. And as it rises up into the atmosphere, it cools down and it bands together in water droplets, and that vapor has cooled and it forms water droplets and it falls as rain upon the earth. And I think it points to a designer. What an amazing system God has designed in this world whereby he can water the whole earth as he desires and fulfills this great cycle of evaporation and precipitation. And it's been going on from the very days of Noah, the days of the flood, to this present time, producing harvests all around the world. And God has promised, as long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. And as long as the earth remaineth, I believe God will be continually moving across this world and across this globe, sending his Spirit, reviving his people, saving the lost, and building his church. It points to a designer. It also points to the sovereign goodness of our God. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said that our God, our Father in heaven, he causes the rain to fall upon the just as well as upon the unjust. And my dear people, as we look at our world today and we look at our society and we look at our town, and we look at our communities, and we look at the homes and the families, and the great need that there is in our world today, I believe that we need to look beyond that, and we need to look to heaven. Because the only answer for this land of ours is an awakening and a moving of God's Spirit. God moving mightily, God opening the windows of heaven, and God giving us and sending us showers of blessing. Dr. Andrew Bonner was a famous Scottish preacher. He was a friend of Robert Murray McShane. His brother Horatius Bonner was also a pastor, but a well-known hymn writer as well. And one great book is The Diary of Andrew Bonner. It's a wonderful devotional book. You should try to get it and read it. I remember maybe 20 years ago reading it as a young Christian. What a challenge it was. A man who had a desire for Christ and a desire for God and a burden for his people like none other. He said in his diary, 14th of August, 1832, in the midst of the great cholera pandemic that was sweeping across the British Isles at that time, he wrote this simple entry in his diary, pestilence in all the land, yet no man seems repenting. Pestilence in all the land, yet no man seems repenting. You know, many people thought that at the commencement of this pandemic that is facing our world at this time, that many perhaps would turn to God in the midst of it. It seems that it hasn't been the case. Pestilence in all the land, yet no man seems repenting. And you know, we shouldn't be surprised about that at all. Because man's heart is dead in trespasses and in sins. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We read in the book of Revelation about God sending plagues and multitudes losing their lives, and yet they cursed and blasphemed the name of God, and no man repented him of his wickedness or fornication. The only thing that will change the hearts of a people, the only thing that will change our land, is God coming in great blessing, and God coming in revival, and God visiting his people from heaven. The answer, my friend, must come from above. And we must ever look to the heavens and look to the hills from whence cometh our help. You know, things have got too far in our land for any politician or any political party. And yes, we're thankful for men of God and women of God who hold public office, who love the Savior. And maybe they don't get much publicity because of what they stand for. But there are people who love the Savior and are praying and they're holding public office and want the best for our land and for our people. But there's no politician or political party, no man, no pastor, no preacher, no denomination that can change anything. The answer must come from heaven. That's why Isaiah said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." You know, there's something else about rain, and you'll forgive me if these things this morning seem very simple and very elementary, but this is simple as well. The absolute necessity of rain. You know, sometimes we grumble and we complain in this land of ours about the amount of rain that we get. And I've been guilty of that as well. But you know, the great reality is that there are nations upon the face of the earth and they would love to have the rain that we have. Think of parts of Egypt, parts of northern Africa, the Sudan, Ethiopia, and places like Chad, and they can't even have a decent harvest any year at all because there's such a lack of rain. And if God was to shut up the heavens for 6 months, we would realize just how vital rain is, how vital it is to the sustaining of life itself, how we cannot survive without rain, how our bodies need it. There could never be a harvest without sufficient rain. The seed in the ground would never germinate and grow without rain. There would be no harvest without rain. And you bring all of that into the spiritual. And unless there's rain from heaven, There can be no spiritual life. We can preach the Word of God. We can have open airs and gospel missions and get the Word of God out and give out gospel tracts. But unless the Spirit of God moves in a man or woman's heart and causes that seed to germinate and break down and take root in their hearts and begin to grow, there'll never be signs of spiritual life without rain from heaven. And then there can be no growth amongst the people of God without the Holy Spirit moving in our lives and in our churches. The Bible exhorts us in 2 Peter 3 to grow in grace. And yet if the Spirit of God does not work effectually in our lives, there can be no growth. There can be no bringing forth of fruit unto God without the Spirit of God moving in our lives. The Savior said, I have chosen you and ordained you to bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. But we cannot bring forth fruit in and of ourselves because it's the fruit of the Spirit. And then, of course, there can be no harvest without the Spirit of God coming. Jesus Christ, our Lord, said, look in the fields, they're white already to harvest. But oh, the laborers are so few. And even if there were many laborers, and we trust that God will raise up laborers, but yet if we labor without the anointing and the infilling of the Spirit of God, we will accomplish little or we will accomplish nothing. And in the church, we desperately need rain from heaven. How often do we have to lament? And as I look at my ministry over the years, for what it's worth, I look back and I say, my service for God has been barren and dry. And barren it will remain unless we are blessed with fire from on high and sound of abundance of rain. A number of years ago, there was an old documentary going about the Lewis Awakening. We've watched it in our church with the Thursday morning group. And there's an old preacher that was saved as a young boy during that revival. He talked about how he came under intense conviction for sin and how the Lord saved him. And then called him into the Christian ministry. And there he was, sitting as a man, perhaps in his 70s, talking about being saved in revival, but never seeing a move of the Spirit of God like it since that time in all of his ministry. And yet with a glow upon his face, that old saint of God, the Reverend Murdo McLennan, I think his name was, he quoted the verse of that old hymn, "Oh, for the floods on a thirsty land. Oh, for a mighty revival. Oh, for a sanctified, fearless band ready to heal its arrival." Friends, the ground this morning in our land and nation is arid. It's dry. It's parched. It's been such a long time since there's been a moving of the Spirit of God. And we desperately need that today. As a young Christian, I remember purchasing Leonard Ravenhill's little book, Why Revival Tarries. And even the cover, it just showed a vast plain somewhere, I think in America, maybe Death Valley. Just this vast expanse of ground that was gray and dry and broken open, just like almost like a matrix of cracks. And each crack looked like an open mouth pleading to heaven to send rain. The title of the book, Why Revival Tarries. And that's just like our hearts oftentimes, dry and barren. Reverend Beggs wrote a little book a couple of years ago entitled Time of Refreshing about the mission in Ballymena Town Hall in 1975, whenever Dr. Paisley preached as he did, certainly in those days, with tremendous anointing and tremendous unction. And God moved in a mighty way, and many, many people were saved. And I'm sure some of you attended those meetings. I've spoken to people over the years and said, you know, we used to take busloads down to those meetings. People were converted. God was moving mightily. And Mr. Begg says it was just, as it says in Acts chapter 3, like a time of refreshing. Time of God moving and sending showers upon a thirsty land and upon a thirsty people. As I think about rain from heaven, I think about the biblical metaphor of rain, the heavenly source of rain, the absolute necessity of rain, but then a very solemn thing, the judicial withholding of rain. Whenever Solomon was dedicating his temple, God spoke into his heart and said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, those were all evidences in Israel of the chastening hand of God. And I believe that to a large degree, there are still evidences oftentimes of God's displeasure amongst his people whenever he shuts up heaven that there's no rain. Or if he allows the locusts of apostasy and false religion or secularism to devour our land, or even if there's pestilence in our land, it can all be evidence of God's divine displeasure against sin amongst the people or in the nation. It was written, as a matter of fact, even into the Levitical law in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 16. God says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven that there be no rain. God can judicially, legally, withhold rain from the people because they have turned aside to serve other gods. Could it be that God has withheld the showers of blessing from his people, from his church, because we have turned aside and served other gods? Maybe things that we feel are very legitimate, but we have put them before God. One day, Elijah, who was an unknown man, had never been heard of before, Elijah the Tishbite, was thrust by God onto the public arena and took to the stage in Israel. A bearded eccentric who had been brought up in a backwater town, and somehow he finds himself having an audience with the king of Israel. And he says, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. It was a judgment of God upon the land because of the sins of God's people. Friends, could it be that God has withheld the showers of blessing from us because of sins in our lives and sins in our hearts? Before the 1859 revival, God had to purge the Presbyterian Church from Arianism. It was really a theology, a doctrine that was gaining ground and taking foothold in the church that undermined the person of Jesus Christ. It essentially robbed him of his deity and said he was not eternal, but he was the first creation of God. And really what it did was it divided the whole Trinity. And Henry Cook and other men stood up against it, and they purged the church of that awful error. And that was the beginning of the non-subscribing Presbyterian Church. You've maybe seen that sign outside a church building, the non-subscribing Presbyterian Church. And you wonder, what does that mean? Well, they don't subscribe to the Westminster Confession of Faith, largely upon that doctrine. And ultimately it goes on to deny not only the person of Christ, but then it denies the work of Christ, his precious blood, his atoning work upon the cross. And it does away, therefore, with the whole necessity of salvation. You see, it's a very serious thing. The hymn writer said, what think ye of Christ is the test? To try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. But whenever the church was purged at that time, God subsequently sent revival. Now maybe it's not the big sins in our lives that are holding back God's blessing. Maybe today we all hold to the word of God as being infallible. And we all believe in the Trinity, and we all believe in the person and work of the Spirit of God, and the deity of Christ, and the cross work of Christ, and the resurrection of Christ, and the coming again of Christ, and the necessity of being born again. Those things are not disputed, I trust, in this place. And maybe we abstain from alcohol, and rightly so. And we don't indulge in vices, and maybe look down our nose at others that do. But maybe it's the sins of judgmentalism, or a critical spirit, or a feeling that we're right and everybody else is wrong, or maybe backbiting, or holding grudges against other Christians, or being a busybody in other men's or women's affairs. The Bible speaks about that. or stretching the truth, or being a gossip, or being proud, or manipulating situations, or manipulating people, those are things that can so easily grieve the Spirit of God. And yet God holds out a hand of mercy and says, if my people which are called by my name humble themselves and pray, and turn from their ways and confess their sins, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. But you know, lastly, there's a wonderful promise for rain. There are many promises in Scripture for God sending rain from heaven. In Psalm 72 and verse number 6, it says, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass as showers that water the earth. The mown grass, does that not speak to us of preparation and expectancy? God the Spirit will come, I believe, whenever he's welcome. And whenever he sees a people ready and waiting and prepared. Ezekiel 34:26, there shall be showers of blessing. Joel 2:28 and 29, I will pour out my Spirit. Now I do not believe today that Pentecost is repeated, but I do believe that it's perpetuated. I believe that the blessing of being a Spirit-filled believer or a Spirit-filled church can be our blessing and experience even today. In fact, the Word of God says that he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh in the last days. The prophet Hosea, in Hosea chapter 6, said in verse 3, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. You know, the people of Israel always looked for the former rain whenever they plowed their fields and they sowed the seed. They anticipated the former rain at the beginning of cultivating the ground, that the rain would come and God would pour out the rain upon that seed that had first been sown and saturate the ground so that the seed would have a good start. And then as it would begin to grow, there was a dry season. But then just before the harvest would be brought in, God promised not only the former rain, but a time of latter rain. And that latter rain would become as a refreshing shower, would swell the grain. And then at last the harvest could be brought in. And it was something that God graciously did year upon year for the children of Israel as they looked to him. And you bring that into the spiritual. I believe whenever we read in Acts chapter 2 about God visiting his church, reviving his church, pouring out his Spirit upon his church, that's the former rain. And there's been showers of blessing on and off ever since, times of dryness and heat. But I'm convinced this morning as I read the Word of God that Jesus Christ is, yes, coming back again, but I don't believe he's coming back for a church that's backslidden and carnal and cold. He's not coming back, I believe, for a backslidden bride or for a carnal church. I believe he's coming back for a church that's revived. And I believe there's a time of refreshing. Yes, the Bible says perilous times shall come. But I don't believe our God's going to give the enemy the victory. And we all just have to sit back and rest upon our laurels and convince ourselves that somehow this is a Laodicean age and God's foreordained that we should all be a bunch of lukewarm Christians. I believe he wants us to be on fire and filled with the Spirit of God. And we need to expect something from heaven. Now the book of Zechariah says we are to ask God for rain. Zechariah 10:1, ask ye the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Has he not said, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground? But the challenge this morning is, are we really thirsty? Can we say, as the psalmist said, as the heart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Can we see even this morning that little cloud the size of a man's hand? I believe God is moving. I believe God is working. We mightn't see very much, but I believe God is jealous for his people. And I'm looking for a better day for the church of Jesus Christ. Let's sing that old hymn together, number 633. You'll find it there on the screen behind me. 633, there shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing sent from the Savior above. Just remain seated. We'll sing all of this lovely hymn together. 633, please.